Thank you, Destiny Child. You may be seated. That was fun, wasn't it? We can have fun in church, can't we? Come on now. That was a great song, too. You know, when I thought about this song, though, we were planning for this series, I thought about what we're all facing right now, both in this room and online, just on an individual level, on a national level, on a worldwide level. And really, I believe that through Jesus, he wants us to be a survivor through him. How many believe that? We can get through this one day at a time, one moment at a time. And I want to preach this message today from Philippians, chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. If you have your Bibles or your phones, please turn with me to Philippians. If not, they'll put it on the screen so you can follow me both in this room and online. Thank you for watching online today. We're honored to have you all over the nation and different countries of the world and of course, in Bloomington. I want to talk about a survivor from Scripture that wrote over half of the New Testament, and his name is the Apostle Paul. He was a survivor. And I want to connect this thought to you and I right now in light of what we're facing and where we're at. And I'm challenged by this message. I'm speaking to myself today. I do it every week, but I'm preaching to myself today because I believe the Holy Spirit's been challenging me with this thought. And so the Apostle Paul says this in verse 11, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live." Now notice the language here. I know how to live on almost nothing and with everything. I've learned the secret. I love that line. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. This is the famous verse that you've heard. I can do everything or all things through Christ who gives me strength. How many believe in that Jesus today? I can do everything. Now, Paul was a survivor. I want to set this up. In context, did you know that the letter that we have today, known as Philippians, was written while Paul was in jail? He was in jail writing this. He suffered for his faith. Truly, he was a survivor. In other passages, Paul mentions everything he went through. He was shipwrecked. He floated in the middle of the sea for about a day and a half. He was stoned. Some theologians believe he was stoned to death and God raised him up. We really don't know. Others believe he almost died. But either way, the Bible says after he was stoned, he got back up and went back into the city to preach to the people that stoned him. He was 5 different times beaten with a rod, 39 times all up and down his back and legs. He was almost ripped apart because of his message by a mob. Over and over again, the Apostle Paul, he faced circumstances, and yet he survived them all because of his faith. And that speaks to us today. Not to be a broken record, but let me just say this all again. We're facing COVID-19. And this is, however you think about it and feel about it, it affects us all differently. My father was speaking to a good friend of his who was a leader in the Native American a tribe in Montana and on the reservation. And my dad preaches to these people. And he told my father that COVID is affecting the Native Americans more than any other people group right now. Almost someone is dying every day in his village or in his tribe there. You and I are facing something that we can't control. Then we have unemployment and financial stress. Then we have racial tension and the cry for justice. And then we have ongoing violence, rioting, and looting in multiple cities all at the same time, which we promote peaceful protesting. That's our right as Americans. We don't promote looting and rioting and hurting people. And then we have political division. We're getting ready to come up on a presidential election. Aren't you all happy? And then we have our own personal situations. This is good gospel news for everyone in this room and online. We all have our own issues, don't we? We're dealing with our own stuff, let alone all this other stuff. As I mentioned last week, I heard through one of the doctors that go to our church, the need for mental health support, being seeing a counselor or calling the hotline, is jumping up 68%+. So what's happening right now all around us, both individually and as a whole, I believe we are facing circumstances that we can't control. And yet, in Jesus, we can be a survivor. How many believe that? I believe that. We can get through this. Even the lyrics to this song, it says, I'm a survivor. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to make it. I'm a survivor. And I know what the song's about, but what if we translate that to our faith? And we say, in Jesus, I'm a survivor. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to make it. I'm a survivor. I refuse to quit. I'm going to get through no matter what comes my way. I'm going to get through this. It's a powerful statement. You know, the Bible says that many are the trials or the test of the righteous, but the Lord brings them out of them all. And the Bible says that he's a very present help in the time of trouble. And yet, what sticks out to me in these verses, and we've heard, you know, I can do all things. I can do everything through Christ. We've heard that at sporting events. We've heard that at award ceremonies. We've heard it in church. We've heard it in a lot of different arenas. I can do all things. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Amen to that. I'm going to get there in just a moment. What stands out to me, though, is two different things. In verse 11, he says, I have learned to be content with whatever I have. And then in verse 12, I love the line again, I have learned the secret of living in every situation. What is that secret? What is the secret that Paul's talking about? How could Paul be good with nothing to eat or a buffet to eat? How could Paul be good in jail or not in jail? How could he be good getting beat or floating in the middle of the sea? How can he be good in all that? And it's a word that I am wrestling with in my own life, and maybe you are too. And that is what he says here in verse 11, contentment. It's contentment. Everyone say contentment. And the definition of contentment is literally the state of satisfaction. The state of satisfaction. And anytime I've spoken on this, I get questions back, what's the difference between contentment and settling in life? And there's a vast difference, and I want to define it for you. Settling, maybe write this down if you want. Settling is saying this, I give up that there's anything better for me than what I have right now. So I settle. That's not what God has for any of us in this room and online. God has never asked any of us to settle in life. You heard in worship, I press forward. I reach toward the high calling or the high prize of God in Christ Jesus, right? He's never called us to settle. He has called us to be content. Yes. And the Apostle Paul learned this powerful secret of having satisfaction. So I would add to that definition of being in a state of satisfaction, and I would say it's being satisfied with what God has done in our lives and what he's doing right now. I'm good. I come to the point where I'm at peace. I'm good because God is with me and God has done this in my past and he's doing this right now. Now, this challenges us because I am the chief of you, as Paul said. I'm tempted like this and maybe you are too. We're tempted, though, to live life through the lens of what is not working out. The glass half empty, the prayer request we haven't received, and the job we don't have. And if I would have this person, my life would be better. And if I lived in San Diego, I would be even happier. And if I had this money, I would be great. And if I had this, and we're constantly living through this lens of not being satisfied with what we have and always wanting more, thinking that more will fulfill our need. And that is a mirage and a lie. Nothing wrong with San Diego. Come on, sunny days. Nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is that the play that the enemy uses against us, and King Solomon said this in Proverbs, that the heart of man is never satisfied. And so we have all these blessings, and we're still like, it's not enough. It's not enough. I'm there too. It's not enough. And so I want more. I want more. And I'm upset that I don't have more. And I'm frustrated that I don't have more. And so I believe we're living in almost a perpetual state of not being satisfied. And yet that robs us of having this secret of being a survivor that the Apostle Paul, think about the language that Paul is saying here in the Western world to you and me right now. He's saying, if I'm hungry, I have nothing to eat, I'm good. If my stomach is full, I'm good. If I have a lot of money, I'm good. And if I have no money, I'm good. I don't know about you. I'm not there yet. I'd rather have something to eat. I'd rather have a little bit of extra money in my pocket. Can you be honest with me right now? And the Apostle Paul said, I don't care about that. I'm good. How did he even get there? He learned the secret. He said it here. He learned the secret of contentment. Notice how the enemy plays on us to think that if I get a new spouse, I'll be happy. If I can escape my problems, I'll have everything I want. Folks, it's a lie, 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 and lie again. You and I right now in the middle of COVID-19, racial tension, political tension, unemployment, we don't know what's going to happen next, personal issues, facing our own stuff right now in America in 2020, we can have contentment and be good no matter what's going on around us, not because of what we have, but because of who we have, and that is Jesus. And this maybe is old-fashioned, but I'm preaching to myself. He is the answer for the world today. And we need so much in our nation. We need so much in our nation to make it a better place. Yes, absolutely. But at the end of it all, when it's all, when America is done, when Russia is done and China is done, when it's all said and done, Jesus is going to be on the throne ruling, right? And so you and I, we need Jesus at the end of the day, and he is the one that helps us have contentment when it doesn't make any sense. Because you and I, in our faith in Christ, and if you don't know Christ, receive him today. In Jesus, we can have peace when we're sad. We can have joy when we're sad. My emotions may be sad, but my inner being can have joy again. Doesn't make any sense, but it's because of Jesus. And yet right now, by the numbers of you in this room, thank you for coming on a holiday weekend, and those watching online, people that are a part of our church in Seattle and Nebraska, and I mean, it's amazing. So as you're watching, thank you. And all of us right now are probably facing something personally, chances are, severe or trite, where we are saying, I can't. Maybe you're saying today, I can't deal with this anymore. I can't deal with my marriage. I'm having a hard time, dealing with being single. I'm having a hard time dealing with race. People are looking at me because of my race. I'm over it. I can't handle the pressure. I can't handle the stress, whatever it is. If you're not there, here's another, good line. You're going to get there at some point in your life where you and I can't. And we don't like that because we have so much at our disposal. But this is true, and when God gets us to the point where we can't, he smiles while we cry. Because where we can't, he can. And that's where he can be the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Because many times in our life, we want to hold on to it, but the minute we let it down, and if you're like me, I don't let it go until I finally realize I can't hold on anymore. But when we all get to that point, that's when God begins to show up and make a way where there is no way. And he does what we can't do. And so while you and I get to that I can't place, notice what the Apostle Paul said in this verse. I can do everything through Jesus who gives me strength. He didn't say I can do everything through me. Many times we think I can do it all through me. I can do my marriage through me. I can navigate my mind through me. I can earn my own living and take care of myself because I'm a bad man majima. No, we know he's the bad man majima, right? But we lean to, as a human, I am good by myself. And then we realize, man, pride comes before a fall.
That's right.
And we realize we can't do it. Paul knew this secret. He had contentment. He was satisfied. So it didn't matter his physical surroundings. He had this sense of contentment. He was a survivor in his faith through circumstances you and I probably had never dreamed of facing. I've never been hit by a stone. Don't want to be. And you and I can have the same thing, but Paul also realized he did all this through Jesus, not through himself. Jesus gave him the strength. Jesus gave him the ability. Jesus gave him the grace. Jesus gave him the heart. Jesus gave him the power. Jesus gave him the patience. Jesus gave him enough love to get beat down. Again, some thought, or some teach he was killed. Others believe he almost died. And the dude gets back up and walks back into that city and preaches to them again. Now, if you ask me, I'm going to get a gun or something and be like, let's get it on here, people. I love you, but I'll see you in heaven. Maybe. I don't know. Are you with me? Don't look at me like a church mouse. You know I'm telling the truth. Some of us get that way when someone pulls us, you know, off the road or pulls in front of us or cuts us in McDonald's drive-thru. Ah! Come on now. How did he do all this? With God. With God. So you and I can go from I can't in myself to I can through Jesus because it's Jesus. So therefore, I can do everything through Jesus. I can do my marriage. I can do parenting. I can do singleness. I can do my emotions. I can do my faith, my struggles, my attitude. I can do my finances, my diet. I can do it all through Jesus. I can even navigate racial tension and how people view me through Jesus. I can do anything that I'm facing through Jesus. This is profound for us today because in our culture, in our blessings, in our prosperity in general, we have things at our fingertips. Did you know that 3/4 of the world does not have running water? 3/4 of the world doesn't have what we have in our own home. And I'm struggling today to, when I think back to a memory I have and a story that I want to share, that I want what these people have, and I don't have what they have. Even my father, when he was in Honduras, he met a pastor who had so much joy, and my dad said he was so full of joy. He was so full of joy, I don't know how else to say it, and he has nothing. And furthermore, his son was mutilated, kidnapped by a gang, and murdered on a live stream video. And my dad said, how do you handle this? How do you have joy? He said, it took me a while, but I forgave those gang members. They were like 14, 15 years old who were ruining cities down there. He said, I just came to a sense of peace, and I give my son to God, and I have joy. And then the man said, Pastor Kim, pray for me. And my dad said, no, brother, pray for me. And I was in a ghetto in Nairobi, Kenya of 3 million people. Think about a ghetto bigger than Indianapolis. I remember driving up with the pastor and seeing miles and miles and miles and more miles of tin roofs all stuck together, almost like a wall around a city. And I went into this ghetto. I saw kids playing sewage on the way to the church. And I go into this small church, and it's simple, and there's nothing that's glamorous. There's nothing. I mean, they're doing their best, and they start playing the music, and it's loud, and man, they're singing with all their heart, and I'm looking around the room, and the smile on their face, and the joy in their eye, and they're singing with all their heart, and they do a line dance, and they're dancing all around the room, and they say, white man, do it with us. I said, okay, come on, let's go, and I'm doing it with them, you know, I'm doing this, and I'm dancing, and then some would say, yeah, that's their culture. It wasn't. I know their culture. There was something more than culture. It was Jesus shining through their eyes, and in their face, and they had nothing, but they have everything. And I looked around the room and I realized, I don't have what you have, and I have 10 times of what you have, and I want that because that's joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's peace that comes with contentment. It's not based on Benjamin Franklin, it's based on Jesus. And walking down a dirt street in a ghetto in the middle of Africa, they got contentment and joy, and I know that's what I need more of. How about you? And we don't have to apologize for our blessing. That's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is it spoke to me. And that memory still sticks with me of how much I want God to. He's been convicting me of having more joy this year. We had so many plans this year. We had so many things ready to go. And then COVID hit and shut down and all the stuff that's happened, man. It's hard because my dreams and our plans have not been able to be executed. And God was helping us do it. And God's been challenging me, have contentment and raise your hands and be thankful. And I find myself challenged to be thankful. How about you? And I know this is the secret that Paul said. I'm just preaching right from the Bible. He said, I know the secret of living in every circumstance. And you and I'll speak to myself. I will do so much better when I learn this more. Because I can have joy and peace in the midst of COVID. and unrest and tension and the media playing all of us, I can have joy and a sense of peace in God because I'm in Him. How do we do this? I'm almost done today. How do we do this on a holiday weekend? How do we have contentment? Man, that's a massive thing, isn't it? How do we get to where those individuals in Nairobi, Kenya, for example, that I saw, how do we get to that? How do we have a glow on our face and a gleam in our eye, whether we have thousands of dollars or no money, gated community or the ghetto? How do we get there? How does that happen? Because I saw it. Well, I don't have all the answers, but I think this may help. This helps me. Maybe for your notes, just two quick things. I want to encourage all of us in this room, and I've said this before, I want to repeat myself again, because this has really ministered to my heart. I want to encourage all of us to write a thank you list of what God has done. Maybe even this weekend, I was thinking during praise and worship, during Waymaker, that maybe today I'm going to have my kids sit down with me at the table. I want them to write out a thank you. What are you thankful for today? Let's sit and just think through this. What are we thankful for today? Maybe if our marriages are struggling today, maybe write a thank you list of what your spouse means to you. Maybe if you're struggling in your parenting or vice versa in your relationship toward your parents, write down a list of all the things you're thankful for your parents or for your children. If you're single today and you're overwhelmed with the idea of being married, maybe just observe someone that's not happy in their marriage and write a thank you list of why you're not married yet. Amen. Everyone look straight ahead at me. No one look to the right or the left. And then not only write a thank you list, keep it somewhere. I have it in my home, in my notebooks. Maybe keep it somewhere where you can read it if you need to every day, maybe multiple times a day. Intentionally write down what God has done. Intentionally remember the things He has done. Intentionally share that list with a trusted friend, because when you and I share with others what God has done, it is fortified in our heart what God has done. It almost blesses us because we're telling it out loud. This is what God did for me. And I want to encourage you today to be intentional about writing a thank you list and just start, and I'm doing this right now, is just start being thankful. Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you for that. Because I know I need more of this in my heart. How about you? This is the secret, folks. It's contentment. It's being satisfied. I'm satisfied in my life with what God has done. For us, because of all the blessings in our mind, we're satisfied by what we see. We're satisfied by cars and homes and clothes. And there's nothing wrong with that in and of itself. They're arbitrary. But our conditioning is based on that. We're content with that. And then even when people get that, they need more of that. But that's not how we're content. We're content with that or not because we have Jesus. And that's where I'm working to get to. And I would ask you today in closing to begin to write a thank you list, because folks, in Jesus, we can be a survivor through all this. We can be a survivor through all this. I'm going to say it again. We can be a survivor through all this. We can come out. And let me just say this real quick on a political issue. The Apostle Paul, when he was being stoned and beat and shipwrecked and floating in the middle of the sea on a piece of driftwood, the authority over him was a man that was out of his mind named Nero, who would take Christians and put them on poles after they were clothed in tar and set them on fire and let them be torches for the night along the Roman roads. The Apostle Paul was under a regime that was literally, if you read history of the Romans, Nero was insane. He was out of his mind. And the Apostle Paul said, pray for those in charge of you. What he was up against, you and I have never even come close to sniffing. And yet he had this idea of being content. And he's challenging me today to say, I can do all things through Jesus who gives me the strength. And I can have contentment with where I'm at. And so again, write a thank you list and work on it. And then the second thing is, if you're at an I can't moment right now, and if you're not, you will be. Say, I can't do this anymore. I can't handle my thoughts. I can't handle my marriage. I can't handle my child. I can't handle my money. I can't handle my pain. I need help. I want to encourage you to find a confidant, join a group here online or in person. Reach out and begin to share the I can't moment with someone you trust. And let other people come around you, because Jesus, many times, as I said last week, many times Jesus will support you. He'll supernaturally bless you through the support of someone else. And the Apostle Paul had Timothy, Silas, Apollos. If you read Romans and his letters, he thanks several people, 10 plus, 15 plus people for their help along the way in different cities. Even when Paul knew he was going to die in Jerusalem, he told that group of people, that church, he said, I'm never going to see you again, for to live is Christ and to die is gain. Think about that. To live is Christ, to die is gain. And they began to weep, the Bible says. And even in his weeping and even in his moment of his final voyage, he had company to help him. This is how you and I can have contentment today in this massive topic on a holiday weekend. You and I, in this crazy world we're in right now, can have contentment. And one thing we can do, and this is both biblical, the Bible says, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to encourage you, write a thank you list and begin, and then share it. Maybe even today or tomorrow on your holiday, write a thank you list and share it. And then if you are in an I can't moment, if you're in an I can't place, pause, slow down, find someone you trust and tell them, help me, help me. And then God will come around you and you'll have, I believe you'll have the support you need. Every time I have chosen accountability, I've been better, I've been protected, I've become a survivor, because I've done what the Bible asked me to do. If you believe in this Jesus today, give him a great clap of praise. He's worthy today. He's worthy today. He's worthy. Let's stand to our feet in this moment. And you online, thank you for joining us. Stay in tune just for a few moments longer. This is the best part. If you don't know Jesus today, in this room and online, if you've never received Jesus, the Apostle Paul said, today is the day of salvation. Don't say tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. You said, I've never received Christ, and or I have done that, but right now I am so far from God and I know it, and I got to get back to him. Both of those are biblical, by the way, those positions spiritually, and yet Jesus is the remedy for both. So as our hearts are bowed, please, as our heads are bowed in this moment right now, we're not here to embarrass anyone. We're here to help everyone take their next step. And you would say, Pastor Dave, I've never received Jesus, and or I have, but I'm far from God, and I got to run back to him. If that's you today, and you know the Lord is drawing you to him, go ahead and raise your hand right now. I want to pray for you to receive Jesus today. God bless you. 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 Good. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. People coming to God today. Thank you so much. And then I'm going to raise my hand already, because I need this for myself. I've been feeling the challenge of the Lord. But you would say, you know, Pastor Dave, there's areas of my life I need more contentment. I need more contentment. I want more satisfaction of what God has done, what God is doing. I want to be a survivor. I don't want to live with the glass half empty. I don't want to live with the what ifs and if I get this. I want to live in the moment. I want to have contentment. If that's you today and you want support, go ahead and raise your hand all over this room and online. I want to pray for you today. Thank you for raising your hand. So many hands. And say with me, Lord Jesus, my heart is yours and I run to you. Forgive me for anything that's wrong in my life, in my heart, in my mind. Clean me. I turn from that. I say yes to you. I give you everything. I'm yours. And through the Holy Spirit, help me have contentment. I can do everything through you who gives me my strength. I'm satisfied with all you've done and all you're doing. And I have faith for all you're going to do. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's give him one more great hand clap of praise today. He's doing this in our hearts. He can do it. He will do it. He shall do it.